From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
We are live from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina Spring Open House. And we're actually, it's kind of a perfect place to talk about it because we're out here in Durham off Hamlin Road, 1335. And we're about to talk about the Duke Blue Devils, which at least one piece is coming back to Durham. Tyrese Proctor coming back, announced earlier today, that or yesterday, I should say, that he'll be returning to the Blue Devils. Jared McCain, Kyle Filipowski, two expected first-round picks today, put out their announcements around the same time. Don't think that was a coincidence, that they'll both be departing Duke after Kyle Filipowski, 2 years on campus, Jared McCain, 1 year on campus. That's about as good as you could hope for if you're Duke. I know there was some holding out hope that maybe Jared McCain would just love Duke so much and would want to play with Cooper Flagg that he would come back. But that, you know, top half of the first round, top 20 picks in the first round, not many guys are turning that down to return to campus. So Tyrese Proctor returning actually kind of threads the needle, which is where I want to start this conversation. When you are Duke and you're recruiting five stars pretty much exclusively, you need players to thread the needle between not being too good so they go pro, but also not being too bad that they feel like they won't have as big of a role next year and hit the transfer portal. And Tyrese Proctor is just walking right down the middle of that fence. He was supposed to be a first-round pick. Some early season struggles and a little injury made that so that's not the case. However, he still increased his points per game, his assists per game, his shooting percentage, and his three-point percentage. So he's probably locked into a starting role next year for Duke. So he's coming back. Kyle Filipowski came back last year. Similar situation. Injury probably made it so he wasn't so good that he was an obvious lottery pick. But his production was such that he was definitely going to be a starter. So he came back for his sophomore year. It's ironic that if you want to have a veteran team at Duke, you need a couple guys to not live up to their potential, but also not fall so far below their potential that they want to leave. It's a really weird thing to root for as a team, especially when you look at the last 2 years of the John Shire era, and it's pretty obvious that one of the reasons they didn't achieve the big and lofty goals that they set for themselves is because they didn't have the veteran guile at a position group, right? Even if you think Jeremy Roach brought it this past year, they didn't have it in the post. And in previous years, and maybe even going back to the last few of Coach K, they may have had it in the post and not in the perimeter. You look at the teams that made the runs in March. They had veterans. Go back 100 years, maybe not 100, go back 20 years, everyone filling out their bracket. The biggest cliche was you need veteran guards. You need upperclassmen guards. And, you right, if you didn't know who was on Winthrop or McNeese State or whoever, you just look up their rosters and go, ooh, they got four seniors playing their minutes in the backcourt. That's my 12 seed over a five. Duke has had a really hard time getting that recently because – they're either good or they're not, and there's no one playing that middle ground. Jeremy Roach has done it for 4 years. He might be coming back again. Not good enough to be a lottery pick. Not bad enough to lose his starting position. He might be a five-year starter.
All right, Tim. So you've got me hanging on by a thread here in terms of Duke and where I've seen them and positioned them as a program. Mm-hmm. It is an elite program. So you naturally gravitate yourself towards quote unquote five-star players. This was an argument, and you bring up the good argument about veteran talent with mm-hmm. Veteran backcourts. It's always the two guards. I swear it's two guards, somebody big in the middle who can handle all their business. The way Duke recruits and the way the pressure is, you are almost expected to land five-star recruits to where if you bring in a three-star workhorse type guy, that's not what is expected of you as a fan base. But let's think about those workhorse three-star type guys. Those are the guys that you're just talking about. Those are the glue guys that allow those five-star guys to be those five-star guys. And so Duke finds itself standing on the outside in the Elite Eight this year, mm-hmm. right? And they look at the NC State team. I'm not trying to compare the two in that direct sense, but three-star
one's
guys,
older
right?
than the other.
Three-star
yeah,
guys,
yeah.
right? Three-star guys, not the five-star guys coming straight out of school or whatnot. And programs were always built on the backs of the workhorses, right? The five-star guys are there for the flash, yep. but it's all the dirty work guys, the guys that aren't the top 100s and the top 50s. Those are the guys that bring you the championships, at least from where I always sit.
Well, the it's a little bit more complicated than that, because based on the way I probably presented it and you just broke it down, the obvious solution is you recruit three top 10 recruits in the country and two ranked in the 200s and say, all right, there's our workhorses, there's our flash, and these guys will stay for 3 years and these guys will go pro. But the fact of the matter is, if the three stars aren't playing enough, they transfer out, right? The Alex O'Connells of the world that Duke did bring in and wasn't super heralded. However, he ended up finishing his career elsewhere. It's the hard part is getting them to stay 4 years, knowing they could,
The bag is out there.
Or they could go somewhere else, right, and be the flash, or they could stay at Duke and be the workhorse. And that's where somebody like Tyrese Proctor is threading the needle perfectly, because he's still, if he develops an outside shot, maybe a little bit faster of a first step, which are two things, weight room and time in the gym can help. He might still be an NBA first round pick. Right now he's not, but he's definitely obviously a top end starter in the ACC. So he's still around, and they didn't necessarily recruit over him, which is tough for somebody like Mark Mitchell, who hit the transfer portal, because he's looking at the minutes at the three going, well, Cooper Flagg is going to take all of those. I'm going to go somewhere and be more of a priority. The transfer portal, right? And we talk about this all the time on this show, the re-recruiting that needs to happen every single year, right? It's not enough just to get a good player on campus. You have to get him on campus and then immediately start persuading them that next year they should still be on campus, which is tough. The hard part about that is so many conversations are about two things, money and playing time. I think the NIL deal will take care of itself. You either have it or you don't. Playing time is a really tough one to sell somebody when you're bringing in a better recruit over them, or they didn't play a ton this year and you're trying to sell them on, if you do these things, you can play, when there are promises elsewhere. It's very similar to the NIL conversation, in that we've heard coaches in the past say, I don't promise them anything, right? I tell them if they come here, we have support, and if they play well, we can work with getting them cash. Which sounds great, and everybody's like, that's the right way to do it, until your rival is saying, we'll guarantee you 200 grand. And then it's like, all right, we're losing all of our recruits. We have to start guaranteeing. Duke can always give you the work hard, try hard. Then you'll find a way onto the court, until somebody else says, if you come here, you're a starter and you're getting 20 shots a night. It's a completely different beast. So Jared McCain, Kyle Filipowski going pro, you're never going to stop that. If you bring in good guys, they're going to go pro when they can make millions and millions of dollars. The Proctor threading of the needle isn't something that happens often. So if you bring back Proctor and Roach, two guys that are threading that needle, find a veteran big on the transfer portal, you have three contributors that have been in college basketball for 3-4 years, 5 years in Roach's case. That might be the year you go all in, when you mix it with, Cooper Flagg and Malawash and Evans and Harris and the rest of the number one recruiting class in the country. So I think the news over the past 24 hours for Duke is actually as good as they could hope for, and might set them up for a pretty successful run next year. Paul Ihander, who's out here with me at the Aluminum Company, spoke with DJ Horn yesterday, and we wanted to pass that conversation along.
Yeah, it was a great, honest interview with DJ. His parents came by the studios, just really opened up about just the it's a little bit different of an interview, Tim. It's not so much more about basketball, but a little bit more about DJ, kind of getting into his head a little bit about just this run that the state team made. And we had a little fun towards the end of it as well, trying to dig into a little bit of the NC State team that you may not have seen because we were so focused on their on-court play. So DJ Horn, take it away.
DJ Horn sitting in the chair. First of all, DJ, as we get things kicked off, you've done a million interviews, million questions thrown at you. You've sat in front of things that have your name printed on them and just people holding up phones to your face asking you questions. What's the one question you are tired of answering?
No question, especially during this crazy of a run, has been too crazy of a question or a question that I won't answer. But I will say the question of how are you feeling right now, has been something that I've been constantly asked, and it's just been something that I haven't been able to put in words. So it's been, a little frustrating to, try to process it. But, now that the season is over and everything, I'm starting to, have a lot more of those feelings and everything. So I might give a better answer, but I would say that one.
All right. So what's the one question you wish you had been asked in this entire magical run, this entire season? coming from Arizona State, you know, leaving in and out for cookout. Now that you're here, what's the one question you would hope people had asked you? I know I'm making you think now. It's okay.
Question I wish they would have asked me probably would have been, if you leave Arizona State, it's a guaranteed, you know, ACC championship. You know, are you ready to leave? And I think I would definitely say the same thing as I did back then. Yes, but just knowing that I would, you know, have this be the end goal here. You know, it would have been a no-brainer then too. So I'll say that.
You have to check yourself a little bit as you come home, right, to play ball. You see this run that this team makes, the team that you grew up around watching, you know, young and whatnot, and you come here. How do you keep yourself grounded beyond the two other people that are standing in this room with your parents who happen to be wearing your face on their chests and stomachs right now?
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a challenge to stay grounded, but, you know, having parents like I do, it was the job was a lot easier. But, you know, just being back home, I knew it was going to be a lot of attention just from friends. This is where I grew up and everything, so it's home for me. And just, you know, during the run that we had, you know, Coach Keats was good with keeping us grounded. I knew that this was my last year, and I wanted to be as focused as possible, knowing that, you know, this was my last chance to go out there and play collegiate basketball. So, I was pretty hard on myself with, you know, not trying to let all the, you know, attention get to me, because I didn't want to lose any focus to not be there for the moment.
DJ Horn joining us here. DJ, for State and you coming home and you seeing what this team has meant to this town, what now you guys have in terms of being able to take a new generation into what it's like to be part of the Wolfpack and to have that excitement, what does that mean to you personally?
To me, you know, it means everything. It's the ultimate reason why I came home. And to know that I'll be etched in history in my hometown forever, and to be a big reason on why the community and the school and everybody came together. And, you know, during that run, you know, I heard a lot of the "it feels like 83. It just, you know, it felt good to bring that much joy and happiness to everybody, and see, you know, how everybody could come together for one thing.
So to look deep into your heart, and I like to ask this question of a lot of athletes who see success and will transcend to yet another level, I'm sure you hope, and dream of those things, yeah. And we can talk about that too, but if you could go back and you could stand next to 5-year-old you, picking up a ball, shooting at the little tyke's hoop, or shooting at the big hoop, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. And you're looking at younger you, what are you saying to younger you at that point, knowing what you know now?
Yeah, I would just tell my younger self to stay down. You know, everybody has their time. And, you know, if you just stay down and stay true to yourself, you know, that's all you really can do. And, you know, just seeing the way my whole story played out, you know, that's the biggest message that I could give to anybody, especially, you know, if I could go back and tell my younger self something. So staying down and just staying true to yourself.
You've told all the stories, and we've heard all the stories about, you know, night one, night two, night three, you know, survive in advance. And I had moved it into a thrive in advance for you guys, and to be able to take the steps that you did. The light bulb moment for this team, did it happen midseason? Did it happen postseason? Did it happen? Was what was written on the whiteboard at the beginning of the season the same motto at the end of the season for you guys?
Yes, I will say it was. You know, Coach Keats was a big, firm believer in us going out there and having fun with everything we do. Before every game we go out there, that's the last thing that he'll write on the whiteboard, is to have fun. And, you know, up until the last game, that was, you know, always the message. So I would say, you know, going into the ACC tournament, we definitely had, you know, meetings as a team and everything. And Keats was, again, the ringleader and all of that, keeping the vibes positive and everything when, you know, things were looking, you know, not too good. You lose the last four of the regular season and everything, you know. But he definitely let us know that this is a brand new season. Everybody has new life. And, you know, there was no better time for us to come connected as a team than the time that we did. So that's what March is for.
So snap judgments for you. I like to throw a few things out there to see what you think. Who had the best hair on the team this year?
The best hair on the team this year? I would say me. My hair was always done up in some nice styles. Yep. Shout out to Melanie.
Who had the proper playlist going into every game? Like, if you had to swap a playlist with somebody and swap headphones and go, you know what, I want to vibe what you're vibing today, who would you have swapped with?
That's tough. I would have to go with my boy DJ Burns or Breon Pass.
Why so?
Just because, like, you know, DJ, he's always, I feel like we're always, you know, seeing eye to eye, you know, hence the name DJ. and then Breon, you know, he just versatile with the playlist. Like, he can hit you with something that gets you a beat. He can hit you with this, and he got really everything you need.
I'm trying to be nice about this one. Player who is fashionably challenged.
Fashionably challenged, I would say Ernest Ross easily.
Why?
You know, Ern got some. He got some questionable pieces of clothing that he has in his closet. I would start with all the little fuzzy sweatpants, but you know, that's Ernest Ross though. He can wear that type of stuff.
Choice of ice cream flavor, was yours the proper one? Or, I mean, this was well documented, right? Ice cream after the wins.
Yeah, for sure. You know, mine was cookies and cream. There was, you know, endless of flavors that we would always get, but I was keeping it pretty consistent with the cookies and cream.
One motto or one thing that you will always take away from the run that you had here as a member of the Wolfpack?
Like my people shirt say right there, why not us?
Nat, last question for you, DJ. DJ Horn, next step for you.
Yeah, this next step in my basketball journey is definitely not over. You know, I've been taking some time to rest and everything since the conclusion of my collegiate season. But the next step for me will be declaring for the NBA draft and, you know, seeing where that process takes me.
All right, well, best of luck to you, and I appreciate the honest answers. Sometimes, you know, people put up a little guard, but your guard definitely down, although you can guard anybody. Let's just say that.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys having me.